If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
Another confirmed multimedia production.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
The big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big and B-Fines. I'm back with another special guest. We got No Limit Kicks in the building. Welcome to the set.
So appreciate you for having me.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I see you repping in Hendon County, man. How y'all doing? How y'all looking this season?
We started off a little rough these past two games, but it's beginning of the season, so we trying to tell them not to hold your head down right now. And so get back in practice Monday. So I think we play, yes, Bullet East Tuesday, or Bullet Central. It's one of those Bullet counties, but yeah, we got them Tuesday.
Gotcha. So what was it like growing up in Shelby County?
Really, what you make it of, for real, like, everybody knows everybody, not too big.
Everybody knows your name, yeah, like, type thing.
Uh-huh. Families from friends, everybody went to school with each other. It's like two elementary schools, two middle schools. So most like everybody growing up knew each other. So how
did your environment shape? Like, how would you, you know, that close knittingness and knittingness and I butchered that. How did that shape who you are today?
All right, so I grew up in Martinsville. So that's like with Shelby County, that's like the hood of Shelby County. So like,
Shelby County is the hood of Shelby County?
Nah, it's the Martinsville. Martinsville is like the hood of Shelbyville.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's the poverty side of town. So I grew up there. So just seeing them every day, like the lifestyle, I was like, bro, I'm never trying to live like that when I get older. So it's always been in my head. And then, like, with family, all my family worked all my life. Like, grew up in a single family home with just my mom, grandma, and then her sister. So it's always been around females. So just seeing them work every day and going to work, just seeing like how motivated they are, even though they live in like the hood, and just see, like, they still get up every day, still doing it,
still grinding.
Yeah, facts, grind.
So would you say that's like a hotbed? Would you say like at basketball is king out in Shelby County?
For sure. For sure. Football, basketball. We got youth leagues that go all the way up to, I think, you a ninth grader. So usually basketball is a big sport in Shelby County.
So what sports did you grow up playing?
Football, basketball, and baseball. I started playing I was four, played all the way up until my senior year. Football, I played all the way until eighth grade. With baseball, same way up until my junior year.
See, I think we need more young black boys in baseball. My nephew, he played, it was his first year on coach pitch baseball. It was interesting. Like,
man, so baseball, I feel like it's a God-given sport. Like, not everybody can just go out and swing a baseball bat. Like, it's like a sport you really got to work on, else you're not going to really succeed.
I agree with you there, because I did a little volunteer. I wouldn't call it coach. I did a little volunteering with my nephew's team, like, and I seen the progression. Like, they ended the, like, because they got blew out a couple games. Mm-hmm. Like, it was bad. And I seen, like, them, like, progress. Like, they ended the season like a three-game win streak. Mm-hmm. Like,
man,
it was nice. They came together. Like, that was pretty dope. So I hope I can come back to that, you know, and, because that was just, you know, I don't know nothing about baseball, man, but I'm just out there throwing it with them by my little glove, and, you know.
Man, yeah, baseball is pretty big in Shelby County, too, because that's, like, countryside. So
If
you don't really play basketball, it's usually either baseball or track, but most likely you're going to play either one of those three sports.
So what was your favorite growing? What's favorite sport growing up?
I'll probably say basketball up until eighth grade, and then it was baseball. Like, I played.
Why the switch there?
Be honest, I got real lazy with basketball. Like, growing up, I was always the best one on the team. Then started 7th, 8th grade, started noticing everybody's catching up. I was getting lazy, didn't want to work. So then freshman year came, tried out, made the team. Grades started dropping. Because eighth grade, even if your grades is bad, you still get passed to the ninth grade. So I was like, freshman
year. No child left behind.
Man, so freshman year came, I'm like, I can't feel. So end of the year came, grades was bad. I don't got kicked off. And in the middle of my freshman year, my grandma died. And she passed away on my birthday. So after that, I just said, fuck basketball. Whatever the coach is saying, I'm done. It's over with. Like, I ain't got no motivation. Really, that year was probably the hardest part of my life, for real, going through that. Especially at a young age. Like, death's different.
It is.
And but high school kids, mental health's, like, the biggest thing right now. Like, there's so much these kids is going through. They're not telling their parents. They just dealing with it at home or
ChatGPT. You hear about the
GPT
story?
One kid killed himself because he was talking to the ChatGPT shit.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what state it was in, but he was talking to and asked him, should he kill himself? And I guess the ChatGPT said something along that lines, like, yeah. And the kid went on and did it.
Yeah, I think it was his last words was like, "See, I see you on the other side." Yeah. And ChatGPT said, okay, I'll see you later, you know. That is wild.
That's like, wicked. That is
so growing, like, okay, you say athletes because you are a teacher, right? So what, to just to jump around a little bit, so would you say if students are more under more pressure today than they was back
for sure, because social media, like,
yeah, that's what I was about to answer,
probably the biggest thing right now. And kids right now, and they get influenced with, like, seeing these other players and seeing they lifestyle and seeing what they doing, so they think they got to do the same thing instead of going on with their own journey. Like, you got to, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, don't try to live your life through them. Like,
because social media ain't nothing but highlights. It ain't
real.
You
don't see the bad side of everything at all. Like, you don't see the bad side of it at all.
In summertime, it's a lie.
For sure.
Sometimes it's a goddamn lie. Like,
for sure.
Not only do you not see the good and the bad, it's a damn lie, bro. It's like, that's they highlight real. Like, you can't compare your normal life to. So,
There was this kid I went to school with, and he was known for having money and this and that, having shoes and stuff. So, he ended up going to the beach one time. He posted a flash of a whole lot of money. Everybody back home's like, hey, look at him, look at him. Whole time, the money's fake. Like, yeah. So, it's just an image. Everybody wants an image. Like, Instagram is probably the biggest thing right now.
Everybody
trying to fit an image of, really, that I'm the true person, for real.
My little cousin, he's 25. Well, he graduated at Butler 2019. Mm-hmm. And he showed me this one guy's Insta. This is back when he was in high school. I'm like, that money's fake. You're like, he's getting money. He's like, that money look like toilet paper, dog.
For real. If you actually feel it, especially like with that fake money, that's just light. Light as hell.
It is.
Like, I remember one time, I was getting ready to sell some shoes, and a dude tried to give me some fake money. And as soon as I felt it, I went on and threw the money back at him. I didn't even give him the shoe yet. But it's just like, bro.
What was his thing? Like, what was, like, he didn't say nothing?
Nope.
He knew it was up,
like, I'm in a rush. Like, he asked me if I had change. I was like, nah, I ain't got no change. He was like, here, I'm going to just give you this full thing. You can just take it. So after he gave me the money, I looked at it, I said, nah, that shit's fake. I like, oh, shit, I didn't even know, bro. But, yeah.
That's wild.
That fake money's different now.
It is, man. I remember when them Blue Hundreds first came out, I got caught. I'm like, ah, damn, man. And like the same look, I know, man, somebody gave it to me, man. It's whatever, man. I'm 10 times blessed.
Man, for sure.
So Chevyville has, to go back a little bit, Chevyville has produced some impressive athletes. Who inspired you the most, or inspired you locally?
R.P. Donovan Johnson.
Oh, okay.
He was my cousin. Yeah, he's from Shelby County.
Uh-huh.
So he was one that pushed me a lot. Like,
he played out there too?
Yep, he went to Shelby County.
Okay.
Yep.
R.P. Don, man. Good. He was a dog.
Facts. He knew that's one person that knew everybody in the city. Especially Newberg, like Chucky Wilson. I know he came on here probably like a year or two ago.
Yeah, he's been here a couple times.
Yeah. I know them two was real locked in.
Yeah.
And that's how I met Chucky, was through Don.
Oh, okay.
Yup. AJ Slaughter.
AJ Slaughter, he played up.
He went to WKU.
Yeah.
He's from Shelby County.
Okay, I got you.
And you got Davion McKnight. he went to WKU, and then he transferred to Xavier, and he's overseas.
Okay.
And Zakiya Johnson, she went to Sacred Heart. Now she's at LSU. She's from. Yep, she's from Shelby County, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so there's
she's a freshman this year, ain't she? Yep. How's she doing?
Her thing. I think she had like 20-something, maybe like a 2-3 games ago. They've been killing it at LSU.
Hey, women's sports is evolving, man.
For real.
It's evolving.
Especially with all this NIL stuff coming out.
Yeah.
It's going to help out both sides, for real.
So how did playing sports prepare you for being a leader later in life?
Man, just really the grind. Just with sports anyways, you got to grind, or she ain't going to make it nowhere, for real. Like, if you want to play college ball, you have to grind. You have to put in the work for it. And just like with life, if you don't go to work, you don't get paid. Like,
right.
It's the same thing, for real. You got to take it in both sides. So, really back to with my mom and my family, just seeing their work ethic.
Yeah. So, becoming a teacher, what originally motivated you to start teaching?
I had a teacher named Mr. Whitaker, bro. And
Black guy?
White guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I got kicked out of school, when my grades dropped, I got expelled because I got in a fight, got in trouble with some other stuff. So I got expelled, came back like the last two and a half weeks of school. And they sent me to alternative school till the end of the year. So that teacher came in. That was his first year. And we locked in quick. Like, he was kind of a young dude, so me and him was kind of close. And then one time he told me, it was like, Reese, he's like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I used to tell him all the time, like, nah, I got the realest friends, this and that. But up until, like, junior, senior year, I started noticing, like, none of my friends ain't doing shit.
Right.
It's either they off their own track, either they smoking and don't got a job or anything like that. And at the time, like, smoking was bad now, and everybody.
Bro, smoking was so frowned upon, bro. It was just,
man.
I remember this day, like, I ain't gonna say his name. Well, mm-hmm. It don't matter, but me, because a couple of my buddies mm-hmm. in high school, they was, Brandy, hit the weed. Mm-hmm. And man, I was just like, I think I'm gonna.
Yeah, bro. Now, like, when I was at the middle school, we catching kids with Mr. Fox and these little THC pens. I'm like, bro, we wasn't even exposed to none of this in middle school.
We wasn't. If you had a black, you was like, this nigga was a hoodlum. You know what I mean? If you was smoking, like, damn, this nigga got a black. You know what I mean?
Man.
If you had a little, you know, freaking your little feather tip on, not a feather tip, the plastic tip on the bus stop, you was, but these little kids are coming.
Man, they different. Uh-huh. These kids smoking at 12, 13 years old. I'm like, bro, if my mom would have found out I was smoking, my ass would have been beat.
My niece, Nyree, said this girl was selling cookies, and I, are you sure they real cookies? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They not have some cookies. She said, nah, she got a business, and she'd be asking me for cash out for cookies and stuff. So what did you learn about yourself when you becoming an educator and working with students?
Hey, it takes a person, like a takes a perfect person to work with kids, because I work with behavior kids, so I'm not like with, I don't teach like a subject, I'm with just strictly behavior kids, so it takes a special person to work with kids.
I think it takes patience.
For sure, big patience, because you get some kids, or they like cussing you out, or they physically don't know what they're doing. Like, when they get mad, I've seen a kid like physically black out.
Really?
Just running down the hallway, slamming doors, hitting on all the lockers. And then there was one time, the kid got in a fight. He hit the kid so hard, he flew out the camera angle. Like, we couldn't even see the kid in the camera no more because the kid hit him so hard. He ended up going in the door, shutting it, and locked the kid in there with himself, beat him up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just different. And then most of them kids, like, you never know what they do when they get home. Like, you don't know what their lifestyle is. Like, some of them kids, they don't eat when they go home, or...
Real talk.
Like, for real, it's different.
Serious, it's... And I tell, you know, people, you got to be, you know, fine. Like, I ain't say humbleness, but some kids ain't got no Wi-Fi, no loving.
Facts.
And when they be like, where's the parents?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere. You know what I mean?
Bro, they don't care. It's bad. And I've seen that a lot since I got in the school system. Like, some of these parents, like, they don't. And there was one kid I teached, and he played on the basketball team. Like, his parent never came to any games, didn't come to awards. But the one person that was close to him was me, because I seen him more than damn near his parents did.
Right.
He's coming to school every day, and he's just telling me what's going on. And there was one time he came in, he was like, I didn't get home until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was just out with my mom. I was like, bro, because they ain't have nowhere to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's different.
So did you see about Cincinnati? They offering, let me get this right, a school district in Cincinnati is offering a safe place, a safe parking lot area, a safe parking area for parents that are sleeping in their kids with their cars.
Damn.
They got a designated safe area where they got some, like, porta potties and, like, portable showers. And it's, like, a safe area where you can park and sleep in your car. For, you know, that is wild.
That's crazy. That's wild.
And that's Cincinnati. It's an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. That is wild, that's, man.
You'd be surprised. There's a whole lot of kids. It's like a...
That's one of my biggest... I was a jokester in school. I was a jokester. And that's one of my regrets. Like, you know, if you ugly, you ugly. This is getting hurt, but
yeah.
A kid ain't got no control over, you know, especially a little kid, shoes and clothes and might be a little smelly or something. You know what I mean? They ain't got no control over that. But
I had 1,000 jokes.
Yeah, real talk, man. I kind of felt bad, man.
Facts.
I hit an epiphany about 3 or 4 years ago. Like, man, I wish I can go. Yeah, but it was all fun and game. Yeah, I wouldn't call it bullying.
In the moment.
Yeah, but looking back on, like, that was some wild shit, man. Like, they didn't scrunch up the courage to go to school, got yourself, you know what I mean? And I'm just waiting for him, just with the jokes.
Yeah, we used to have 1,000 jokes.
So what made you, was there any moments in your teaching career that, like, I made the right choice?
There was one time, this kid, he walked up to me, I was like, Reese, he was like, can you give me a pair of shoes for Christmas? I can't, my family won't buy me any. And really, when kids come to me for like that, it just shows, like, I made an impact. And then there was one time I was walking down the hallway, and there was a kid. They're like, the doors in the schools is, like, really small. So there was, like, a glimpse of when I walked past, and a kid just happened to look up. And it's like, Reese is here, because I ain't been here in, like, 2-3 days. So just seeing, like, the impact that I put on kids. And because I told them, I was like, I was once in y'all shoes, like, I was in the behavior unit because at one point where I just stopped giving up on school, they put me in there because my grades dropped.
Yeah.
So when my grades dropped, they put me in there. So I used to just go off all the time. And really, I was just hurting myself. But at the moment, I was looking at them like, y'all out to get me.
Right.
So I tell them, I was like, I've been through it all. So anything you going through, come to me. Like, so really all, like, from the middle school to the high school kids, they all come to me. Like, there's not a game where I can't go to where all the kids is coming up to me saying, what's up, Reese, and this and that. So it just shows me I came a long way. Because some of them teachers I had, they told my mom, like, when he graduate, if he graduate, he's going to be in jail. Just because the people I was hanging around with.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's Shelby County. It's different.
So knowing what you know now, would you go back and change? If you could change anything in your high school career, what would it be?
I would say just listen instead of thinking I know it all. Because that's the biggest thing now. And these kids think they know it all. They think they grown when they're really not. And that was my biggest thing. Like, I thought I was grown. I thought I knew it all. But the whole time, I really looked stupid. Because I'm sitting there back talking. And the whole time, the people that's telling me is the one that really want the best out of me. But
real talk.
I was so caught in the moment where it was fuck you and this and that, where I didn't really care. But now where I'm looking back, I'm like, bro, I should have just listened.
Right. The ones that's checking you, the ones that's got to get, them the ones, you know, that's got your best interest at heart. Like, cause a lot of them teachers will look, you know, they just already get a paycheck. You know, they
for sure.
And they just
some of them teachers don't really care. Like, they'll get mad at a kid that's in the behavior school. I mean, the behavior unit that's in their class and be like, he don't know no better. And these teachers will keep picking at him. Then when the kid goes off, they look clueless. Like, you did it to him. Like, you keep poking a bear and you knowing, like, the stuff he's on been through, because every kid with that's in the behavior unit, they got, like, an IEP, which just tells you, like
different characteristics.
Yeah, like, traits. Their issues that they got. So, and teachers, I've seen it. Like, even when I was in class, they could just pick at you. And then when you go off, it's like, they act like nothing's wrong. Like, y'all keep poking the bear and keep messing with these kids. And then when they go off, they act clueless.
Yeah. So do you think that we need to be more firm with the youth, or like more understanding? Like,
just listen to them for real. That's the biggest thing. Just sit there and listen. You don't even got to say nothing. Just sit there and just have them talk to you. Like, most of these kids go through so much, even in school, from either friends to these kids got girlfriends, and they go home, and either their parents are divorced, and that's the biggest thing in Shelby County. There's a whole lot of kids, and their parents is divorced, and that has a big thing on
kids. I would imagine so.
Like, when them, once his parents, like, I had a friend, his parents split up the moment he started getting off the wrong track, and that was my best friend. Like, we, since, like, 5, 6 years old, like, we've been locked in. And the moment he did that, like, they split up, he got off the wrong track, and I tried to tell him, like, bro, like, this ain't what you want to do, but he was hard-headed at the time.
Yeah.
And he ended up going to jail and this and that.
So did he ever shake back, or did he keep going down the road?
That took a minute. And really, with all the friends I had during high school, I probably talked to three to four.
Yeah.
Other than that, everybody else is on the wrong track.
Wow. My friend group, for the most part, I did a good job of staying away from the goofy stuff. Like, my friend Claude, I've been his friend since middle school. And he actually lives in Annapolis, too.
Okay.
So I was up there, so I was, we had plans to link up, but, you know, they didn't. You know, he had the family, you know, but I still talk to him all the time. We send each other reels and shit, man. He's a good guy, man. You know, most of my, and I say this, staying away from the goofy stuff. Man. Staying away from, you're guilty by association. Man. Like,
and that's what I got in trouble for school for, just guilty by association, just messing with the wrong ones. And that's the reason why I ended up getting kicked off the team was because in school I'm hanging with all the wrong ones when class changes. So then my grades dropped and all that, and that's what made me get kicked off the team. And I used to have the hardest grudge on the high school coach, and he's still the coach right now.
Really?
Yep, Chris Gaither.
Do you teach at the coach?
Nah, I'm at a different county now. I'm in Henry County.
But okay, that's right.
At West Middle, it's West Middle, East Middle, Mormon. That's another middle school. Then you got Shelby County and Collins. That's two high schools. So, okay. Yeah, he's still at Collins. And I remember when he cut me off the team, he kicked me off. And he kicked me off during the middle of school. So he pulled me out and he was like, I hate to do this to you, but we don't see you no longer on the team. And as a kid, damn, you should never kick a kid off during the middle of school because that's just going to rip them up. Then for the rest of the day, you know for sure they're not going to do any work.
Right, in the middle of the class.
Man, the middle of the class. So I'm going back crying. Everybody's asking me what happened. So I'm already ready to go off. So then the teacher says something, and I ended up cussing her out. So she kicked me out of class. So I went to she sent me to the principal's office. So I ended up going to the in-school suspension class. But more of the story, like, I used to have the hardest grudge on them. But now where I look back, like, no coach is going to want a kid that's hanging with the wrong crew, that's grades is dropped. Like,
yeah,
that's with any level from college to high school. Like, if your grades is bad, you're not going to see the court.
Right.
Like, that's simple. And I was just hard-headed at the time. I just wasn't listening. Even though he was telling me the right, but I wasn't hearing it at the time. But the only thing I will say, one thing I wish, is what he just gave me some time and just talked to me. Because there was a whole lot of stuff going on. That's when my grandma passed. So if he would have just asked and, like, why is your grades bad, then I would have told him. But, yeah, that's the main thing for real.
So how long have you been coaching?
This would be my fourth year. I started
And what made you get into coaching?
Really, I didn't even know I wanted to coach until I started working at the school system. And then when I started working at West Middle, the head coach was working in the behavior unit. So we got close and we started talking. I was like, hey, Reese, you should come help out. So I started as assistant coach with sixth grade at West Middle.
If you're looking for a spot that's got everything you need to roll, puff, or relax, pull up to Smokers Castles Outlet. From premium cigars, vapes, Kratom, all your smoking essentials, they got it fresh, affordable, and all in one place. So skip the runaround. Smokers Castle Outlet is your go-to smoke shop. Big selection, better prices, and good vibes. Located at 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky. Located next to Cricket Wireless. 4431 Dixie Highway, Louisville, Kentucky.
So we ended up going like 19-3, 19-4.
Really?
To the state championship. Yeah, we went to the gold bracket state championship. We won that. And then he left that following year. So I was the head coach for sixth grade again. So I just replaced him. So we took our sixth grade team to the pre-state tournament. And his parents tried to fight me. Like, we made it to all the way to the man.
Yeah.
We made it all the way to the state championship in the gold bracket.
He just threw that out there now, so I mean, yeah.
It was crazy because, like, at KBA, the courts is small. Like, where the stands is, like, you can literally put your feet on the court if you really wanted to. So,
yeah.
It was probably, like, halfway through the second half. A parent had their feet out on the court, and a kid was running past and actually stepped on it. So she starts cussing at the kid. So the ref comes over, which she's already in the wrong because why are you cussing at a sixth grader? So the ref comes over. He's like, hey, you're going to have to get – is this your parent? I was like, yeah. She was like, if you can't get her to be quiet, then you're going to have to forfeit the game. She's cussing at the kid. Now she's cussing at me, so – I walked over. I was like, can you please just be quiet? I was like, we had a kid's game. Like, support your kid first off. Like, the kid stepped on your toe. Oh, what? Be the adult about it.
Yeah.
So, game goes on.
Women are so emotional.
One of our kids goes up for a layup, and one of their kids runs through him.
Oh.
So.
Kind of undercuts him, man.
But it was a basketball play in a way. Like, the kid was huge, but he couldn't really stop himself. So he jumped up. He had his hands up. So really wasn't nothing the kid could
have done. Nice hard foul.
Yeah. So the parent goes off. Now she's cussing the whole team, the refs, and the other coach. So the ref comes back over. He's like, all right, it's my last time telling you. If she don't be quiet, we're done. So I looked over his shoulder. I was like, can you please just shut up?
But can I referee you? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do it.
Nah. So the moment I said shut up, I was like, fuck. She said, you fucking tell me shut up? And she stood up. I'm like, oh, Lord. So she walks across the court, starts yelling. Man, you like, we in the state championship
and
game.
And this is a parent for your team.
Yeah, it's a parent for my team.
And she won't shut up, huh?
She won't shut up. She gets up. She's walking up to me. She starts getting in my face, just yelling at me. And the husband's literally down on the other side of the court, and he's just standing there looking at her. I'm like, bro, if you don't get her, like, I don't know what's about to happen. She put her hands on me.
He's a cop.
He was scared.
Yeah,
you could tell.
Who wears the pants in that house?
Like, bro. So eventually, we ended up having to forfeit the game.
Are you serious?
Man, these kids is crying. Oh, my.
Hold on.
And so I told the refs, I was like, y'all can go in and escort her out. Like,
y'all was supposed to throw her out of the game. Like, you don't supposed to forfeit no team.
So I was like, yeah, I can go on and kick her out because the dad's still here. So, and the dad didn't do anything. I was like, I'm just worried about the mom. So, we ended up having to forfeit the game.
That is wild.
Facts.
And our own son, her son plays for you.
Yep.
That is crazy. I've never heard of nothing like that. It's crazy that she didn't, like, let me shut up to my son. And it's crazy that the refs did it. Some dumb shit.
And I told the kid, I was like, I don't want you to think there's no type of problem between me and you. You're still going to play because you didn't do anything wrong. Like,
right.
And he just thought that since his mom did that he wasn't no longer on the team. I was like, you couldn't prevent that at all. Like, it had nothing to do with you. It's just.
That's crazy. I remember I was at Fern Creek, and it was like a little jamboree or whatnot. No lie, the game, 2-3 minutes in the game, a parent kind of charges at me. I'm sick of this shit. I'm like, I'm kind of confused. Like, we 3 minutes into the first quarter. My daughter ain't about to get fouled up. And woo woo woo. So we had the sheriff escort her out of the game. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
man, I deal with, especially with, you would expect that with more with AAU, but with like with middle school and high school, that's one thing you shouldn't expect for a parent to try to fight you. Cause that's more professional. AAU, I would expect a parent.
Like, yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
Like AAU, that's where you're going to get all that stuff at. Parents fighting, coaches with red, like all that stuff. Like, but with middle school and high school ball, that's just something like with college coach, that's what I tell them with my kids on my AAU team. I was like, I don't know who's watching y'all, especially when we go to like these circuit tournaments. Like, the way y'all act, I don't know who's in the stands watching y'all. It could be a recruiter. It could be a college coach. Like,
you're right. You never know who's
what
watching.
What parent knows who. Like, it's like the little things. Like, you being a bad teammate or walking off the court and everybody has their hand up and you just walk past and just go like that. Like, all that stuff matters, and the kids don't see you.
So, what was I about to say? What is your proudest moment coaching so far? Like, what is your...
I'd say probably with AAU when we went to Indianapolis. We played in...
So, what's the name of your AAU to?
Chevy Stars.
Oh, Chevy Stars. Yeah. So, is it a Shelby County Heat team?
See, that was when I was in school. So, that was my friend's dad's AAU program.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it was Chevy Heat.
Uh-huh.
But with Chevy Stars, I started with another coach at West Middle named Bailey Foster.
Yeah.
So, there was one time we was coming back off the bus from a away game from middle school, and I was looked at, I was like, hey, Bailey, we should start, like, an AAU program because there's nothing in the community in Shelby County. If it's not, like, the FAC, it's, like, a recreational center where it's, like, a basketball court, swimming pool. But outside of that, like, we don't got no type of AAU programs outside of high school. So I told him, I was like, this summer we got together and was like, we're going to make an AAU program. So we took the eighth graders of that year and made like a eighth grade team. It was called Warrior Select. So we went around like Kentucky and just played in like little tournaments and stuff. So then the next year was like, we were going to get a little bit, we were going to pick it up and get them on like a circuit. So we got them on the prep hoop circuit.
Mm-hmm.
We got them so they can get like more, they can get looked at more and get their name out there more and stuff. So we took them to Indianapolis to play in this, like, big circuit tournament. So it was, like, something happened to where some players couldn't come, and we only played with, like, five or six kids. We ended up making it to the championship, and we ended up losing, but we ended up getting, like, an invitational to Houston for their next tournament.
Really?
So that was, like, one of the big achievements for AAU.
That's amazing.
Man.
So did y'all lose because y'all was fatigued? Would you say?
Yeah, because they was gassed.
Yeah.
With five of them, they was already ready to go home.
Uh-huh.
By the time that championship game came, like, they was gassed. And I knew it, but I told them I was thankful that they kept fighting and kept competing, because with five kids, most likely you're going to get blown out.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Hey, it was tricky. I see a lot of people play down in age and hold back.
It's different.
Yeah, that's bad. No.
Yeah, some AAU teams will have, like, juniors, and they'll play down and play, like, sophomores and freshmen.
Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, a lot. It's
as a coach, you should never do it because you ain't teach them nothing.
Right. It's like a blowout. You beating them up.
Yeah, like, of course, you're supposed to do it. You're older than them. Mentally, you're stronger. Physically, you're stronger than them, like. That's what you're supposed to do.
So how do you feel about holdbacks? Like, how do you feel about
reclassing?
Yeah.
And it just depends what kind of kid it is. Like, some kids you get that might graduate in like 17, so then I could see the reclass.
Cause yeah.
You get out in the real world, you're not ready at 17.
Like, right.
Mentally, you're not ready. So with holdbacks, I feel like I like it to a certain extent. But if you, like, taking advantage just for sports, you're in the wrong for it, I feel like.
Yeah. I remember when I first heard about it, I was at Westport mm-hmm. Middle, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to fail eighth grade on purpose so I can go to mm-hmm. Ballard.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? That was my first. This is 04, 03. He said, I'm going to fail on purpose so I can do eighth grade again when I come in Ballard.
It ain't teaching, as a parent, it ain't teaching your kid nothing.
Nothing.
Tell him to just to fail this grade so he can say again for basketball. What if basketball don't work out? What you going to do? Just tell your kid just to give up on everything? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of your kids ain't going pro. A lot of, you know, I don't know.
Some of these kids ain't working at all. And that was, like, back to me, like.
What do you mean not, like, where I putting the extra work in?
Yeah. They just come to practice. And that's why I had to tell parents, like, y'all want y'all's kids to come out of practice like Michael Jordan. Like, as much time as y'all want coaches to put in time to y'all kids, y'all got to put time into them, too. Like.
Real talk.
Invest in a trainer, like, take your kid to the gym and put up shots. But most of these kids, once they leave practice, they're not picking up a basketball until practice or the next game.
Yeah.
And they be one.
Especially this day and age with all these trainers and shit. You can't do it.
It's too easy to find a trainer.
Yeah.
Especially down here. There's so many trainers and AAU teams where you can get better. Like, me and the varsity coach had a talk the other day. Like, these kids, once basketball season's over with, they're not picking up a ball until October, September when the season comes again.
It shows, too.
It shows. Uh-huh. It definitely shows.
So, you got a sneaker business. What inspired you to start that?
Really, I just growing up, I've always liked sneakers. Elementary all the way up to now. Like, my mom and grandma, they always just had me. And always Jordans and...
Nikes.
Yeah, all the name brand stuff, for real.
So, what would you describe the state of the sneaker game now? Because a lot of shit is set like... I think the reselling is
on a downfall, for real, to me.
To me, too.
With me selling them, like, I haven't sold a Jordan all year.
Really?
This is my first pair of Jordans I bought was this year. The rest has been all Kobe. Like, this past year, that's all I've been selling is just hooping shoes.
So, well, why do you say it's like the, like, Jordans on a decline? I believe that, too.
The market's crazy on them. Like, everything's under retail.
It is.
It's hard for you to even make anything, for real.
Them French Blues, I can still go get them French Blues.
You can walk in the mall and pick up some Jordans. 5-6 years ago, you cannot do it.
You couldn't, bro.
At all.
I think it's like the market. Like, it closed, like, you know, resellers and, you know, people doing the most for the Jordans. Mm. Makes them produce more. Mm. You know, they're sitting now, you know, they're going to start producing less and shit, you know.
Facts.
So I remember, like you see, 4 or 5 years ago, I'm putting in, I have this nigga here put 3 or 4 raffles in to 3 or 4 stores. You, mm-hmm. my granny, my cousin, and still wouldn't hit on nothing, but now they sitting.
You got them bots, and bots, I don't know if bots is really big as now, like, as today.
I think they cracked down on them.
But bots used to be big, like, COVID year, maybe like a 2018, 2019 era, bots was huge.
Did you ever buy a bot?
Nah.
My sister said it would be worth it, but yeah, I'm
it's,
like.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it.
That's illegal, ain't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You basically shutting the website down so you can get your pairs.
So is that what bots do?
Basically. Yeah, and it's like an easier way for you to get the shoe.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, if you get on your phone right now and if a shoe drops, it's like a 50% chance you'll get it. But with them bots, damn near like 80 to 90% you get it.
So what's your grail, man? Like, what's your holy grail shoe? Like,
ooh.
I got a grail. My grail is the Galaxy Phone Posits. The Galaxy Phones.
A shoe that I was in love with growing up was probably the Jordan 10s Steals. And a whole lot of people don't like Jordan 10s.
The Jordan 10s Steals?
I love Jordan 10 Steals, from the Cherries to the O'Royals. Yeah. I love Jordan 10s.
Jordan 10 is slept on.
Bro, I love them.
They just re-retroed them, didn't they? This one, I think the toe cap, one of the toe caps.
Facts, yeah, the steel tins.
Yeah.
I don't like the toe cap ones.
Yeah.
I like the original.
What's your grill, B? You got a grill?
I'm a big, I like 12.
Yeah. Okay.
I say 10s, 12, and 11s is the top three.
But them, the weatherman's phones, that was a low grill, but I got those.
School, that was probably the biggest trend was foams.
It was.
Yep. I got all kind of foams, so the gum fishing foams, the pink ones, the
Weatherman's.
It was like a red thermal. I think it was like the thermal.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
those, the Spider-Man's, elephant print. Yeah, I had that was
phones
what I was
named time.
For in high school. Like, I could go 2 months without wearing the same shoe in high school. Like,
damn, really?
Yeah, my peoples was buying me all kind of shoes.
Uh huh.
And that's one thing where. Like, me and my friends kind of, like, start to separate because they'll see me with, like, all these shoes. And I'm not asking for the stuff. It's just, like, I was just thankful to have, like, fortunate, like, family members.
Yeah.
And they looked out, and I was spoiled, to be honest. Like, but at the time, I didn't ask for it, but
right.
I just got so much hate from it, so much. It's like, you just...
Spoon-fed.
Yeah.
That's some hating ass nigga shit.
For real.
Spoon fed, got it out the mud.
For real.
You ask them niggas that, but they be grinding so hard to give their son the world. So
facts.
If it's so wrong and why you grinding so hard?
Facts.
See, you just a hating. I hate that term, spoon fed, and that's what it's supposed to be, man.
Facts.
I'm sorry that you.
I'm thankful my mom was like she worked her ass off 2 jobs up through. I graduated, and then she just started working for the school system. But she was in the school system from when I was in third grade. And she's still working to this day.
I was, I'm gonna show my age here a little bit. But I went to, this is like 07, 06. Uh-huh. It's before online shopping is real big. I was like, I ain't the first, but I was one of the first people to do online. I still online shop. Mm-hmm. I'm an online shopper. Right. It's cheaper, more convenient. I had to, I ran across the LeBron Royales. Mm-hmm. Remember them?
Yep.
It was like some premium Air Force. This was the height of Air Force Ones, too. And they was like 175 back then. That's crazy.
Man, that's high,
baby. Yeah. This is, what, 18 years ago. So I had a little job then. So I, you know, I didn't even have a car. So I gave my mama the money. She said, if you get the money. So it was like 210, man. I couldn't. I stepped junior year with them on, man. They faking. Woo, woo, woo. And you want to know what's funny? So I bought mine for like 200. Uh-huh. And this dude from New York, he went to like a reseller up in New York. Wow. He paid like 400, 500 for his. And he was, man, oh, man, yours is fake. You got yours off the internet. Nike.com, my boy. But my junior year, I went crazy with the kicks. Shout out to Ken Wan. He still to this day calls me the Air Force One King because I was getting, for junior year all the way to maybe for like 2 years straight, number forces. Just
see, I've never owned a pair of forces. It's just.
Nigga, what?
Swear,
no way.
Swear, I've never
no owned a way, pair of
forces.
No.
It's always been Jordans or like some Air Maxes, but always growing up, it's always been Jordans.
You never owned a pair of forces?
Never.
You believe this, nigga?
Swear.
Ain't no.
Swear.
A pair of forces. White on white's nothing.
Never. The white pair, black pair, any different.
Like, oh, man. Chance.
Never.
I haven't worn a pair since high school. I'll tell you that. It's like.
Tell me, like, just get them. Like, they go with everything, but I just don't like the way they. Like, I'm not a tall dude, so I feel like forces, like, I don't know. I just feel like they don't fit right on me.
I can't fit them now. I got a real fat foot now. They look like wide pill bottles on my feet. So I can't wear them now. But shout out to Ken Wine. If he ever comes on here, I was there.
It does feel funny. Like, I avoid them now because, like, they like, real heavy and shit.
Yeah. And they're not comfortable shoes. Yeah,
there's two different kind of white horses, too. That y'all probably need. There's, like, some of the laces on the all-white ones here, they'd be, like, a creamish type of color, or they'd be, like, the solid cocaine white. Like, there's two different kind of forces. And I noticed that when, probably COVID year when I was selling them, that there's two different kind of style of all-white forces. It's like, the tad of the laces is, like, a little bit yellower than the...
Is it, like, a defect, or is it...
Nah, it's just two different kinds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, what are some of your biggest challenges or biggest win in running a business? Scroll down, B.
I said probably just believing in my dream for real because county, there's probably like, growing up, I was the only one selling shoes. And then, like, everybody would see that I'm selling shoes, say anything they can go sell shoes. And it's not really the case. Like, if you don't know the right people, you're not going to sell it. And if you don't know, like, the stuff to buy, you're never going to sell it. So
have you ever got hit with some fakes?
Ooh. I got hit with some fakes probably when I first started. Some Bel Air 5. Facts, my mom brought me down here because that's when Kick, you remember like the app Kick?
Yeah, Kick, yeah.
Yeah, so.
He's still on that app Kick. He's still riding Kick. All it.
So it was like Kick and then to like those Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So this was probably like my eighth grade, freshman year. I had my mom bring me down here and I put up to the dude's crib and he came out and I could tell by the way he was acting that at the time I didn't peep it, but now and after looking I look back, it's like, bro, I knew I should have known he was selling fakes because he came out. The box is all beat up, like beat all the way up, like halfway hanging on. The you know what the Bel Air 5s look like? The older model, like the gray. They got a little bit of pink. It came from Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Yeah. So those is like a suede material, but these was like damn near leather. At the time, I didn't know nothing about it. Bought them. Then after I got home, I started looking up YouTube videos, looking at all this shit. I'm like, this motherfucker don't got me. He don't got me. And I paid like $250 for him. But after then.
Damn, $250 for the fakes?
Facts.
Well, you know, resale was crazy back then.
In eighth grade, I was just buying the shoes. Like, I wasn't really into reselling at the time. I just loved shoes, so I was just buying everything.
This is the height of the. I was a only person that could vouch for this is dead. I mean, me and my brother was on the porch smoking, and this apartment's right here, like off to the left. Uh-huh. And I see the shoe deal going down. I see the shoe going down. So the dude sold him the shoes, and he put the shoes in the car, and they both walk around, and like they disappear, like they going in, like they walking into it. I can't see them no more. So about 30 seconds later, dude comes tiptoeing around the corner, looking around, and steals the motherfuckers back.
Damn,
bro, I said, what?
See, heck? I don't been robbed before.
Really?
Oh, my eighth grade year, going into freshman year. It's when the Legend Blues just came out, so probably like 2014.
The phones?
Nah, the Legend Blue 11s. Okay, the, yeah. Colombians.
Okay, got you.
So this dude hit me up off Instagram. He was like, I'm trying to buy the Legend Blues, but I'm trying to trade you with those Candy Cane 14s, the white and red ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't driving at the time, so I had my mom take me to that McDonald's across from St. Matthew's Mall.
Yeah.
So we go over, and I'm waiting for like 15, 20 minutes.
He rides you with your mom?
With my mom, bro.
Damn.
So eventually he pulls up. He was like, I'm inside, which I didn't even see him pull up. So he must have been on the backside of McDonald's. So
yeah,
I walked in McDonald's, and he wasn't in there. And he was on like the backside. So I walked out the other door, and was trading. He had some phones, the all-white phones, and they was like a size 12. He was like, here, try them on real quick. Me being dumb, so I was like, all right, bet. I'm in eighth grade. I just I put one of the shoes on, and I was like, damn, they too big. And I was like, I probably won't trade for the 14s since they too big. So we started talking, and he was like, here, little bro, put these back on again. Me being dumb, I was like, see, they don't fit. The moment I'm bending back up to show them they don't fit, this got a gun out. I'm like, here, you can take these motherfuckers.
Right.
So he takes off running around McDonald's. I'm come running around to get back in the car with my mom. It's like, he just robbed me. She starts crying. She's trying to get the key in the ignition. She's trying to look around to see if he's going to run up on the car. I'm like, I'm just seeing him running down like that, what's that golf store over there?
Galaxy. I need to talk. I used to go.
So he's running down the parking lot. So my mom, we start the car up, and I seen where he ran because he ran over in like a bowling alley parking lot behind Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, with Chick-fil-A's, yeah.
So as soon as we pulling in, there was a car and there was a bunch of people there. So I seen one of the car lights shut off. Instead of my mom, at that time I wasn't even worried about it. Like, I don't fucked up. So my mom stops in front of the car. I'm like, fuck, bro.
Oh, shit.
Facts. Her being,
yeah.
Like, and she gets down. She was like, hey, who just shut that back door? And the woman was like, nobody. And it's like, she's probably like 20. It's this black girl. She was like, nobody. She's like, oh, well, somebody just robbed my son for some shoes. So she was like, oh, there's nobody in here. So we go over to Long Run because we seen a cop when we was leaving. So we go over there.
Go to work?
Is it Long Run or is it Logan Roadhouse?
Yeah, okay. Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. Okay. So we go over there and we try to fill out our police report, but you ain't getting nothing back.
Damn.
Facts. Just seeing that going, seeing my mom cry.
You know, loss is a lesson.
Facts. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
So after I just started bringing a friend with me every time I went to a shoe meet or something like that.
I never got robbed. I just sold a lot of shoes. I never. Mm-hmm. No, I think I got hit with some fake phones, though. He sold me like. Well, he might be one of them cases he's down bad and needs some money, but he sold me like a pair of phones. They weren't in the best condition for like $50. But they just feel funny. They don't feel like regular.
Yeah, I don't know. That was the one time I've been robbed, but I've been scammed. This dude in Georgia, I don't even know but who the dude was, but supposedly he had like a shoe store and he hit me up. He was like, I sent him like either nine or 10 pair of shoes and we were supposed to trade and he was going to buy some of them. And at the time he was like, hey, send me a MoneyGram. At that time I had no clue what a MoneyGram was, but. I put money on the MoneyGram, sent it to him, never got the shoes. At the time, I wasn't even thinking, like, why am I sending you the money if you're supposed to be, if we just trading?
Right.
But me being young, I wasn't even paying attention. And sent him the shoes, didn't get no shoes back.
What year was this?
This was my freshman year.
So, like, wait.
Is this 2015.
Like yeah, okay, the earlier days of the gram. Yeah. It was wild, man.
So, I went from being robbed to couple months later to a year later, sending some shoes off and getting scammed.
So what would you say is your biggest win before we get out of here? Like, what was your biggest win with the sneaker business?
Really connecting with a whole bunch of athletes. Like, now that's all I do. I just focus on college and pro athletes. Okay.
So yeah, like the past year, I just been selling all Kobe's, Kobe Jaws, Jaw 3s, Sabrinas. So
so what's like the hottest shoe? Like what's the
right now? I say Kobe 6s for real. They got it. I say Kobe 6s and probably Jaw 3s.
I had the black Kobe 6 when they first came out. Mm-hmm. It's before Kobe's got like
big. Yeah,
got big. Like the snake skin, mm-hmm. the black.
Yeah, I had some black and red ones.
I had Kobe's first shoe, like when he first, his first signature shoe with Nike. Then he was lightweight sponsored with Nike because he was rocking Huaraches. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was Kobe's ugly. Man, go back. I had every pair of Kobe. I was a Kobe fanatic, man.
Yeah, Kobe's and really, Kobe's and a whole lot of people don't like the Kobe's 8s, but those been selling a lot for me recently.
And the high tops?
They lows.
Okay.
And the Kobe 9s, they got those are the high tops.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kobe's recently been selling a lot for me. Like his shoe sales don't took me to some places I never would have expected.
Really?
Selling to like locals and then me reaching out to like some players. Like I don't did business with players from Kentucky, SMU, Florida, Baylor.
Really? That's amazing. Yeah.
And then like the underground basketball, like all the YouTubers, like Nasir Khor, Bino.
You ever do anything with Hezzy?
You know Frank Nitti or
yeah.
Frank? Yeah. So I'm about to do some business with him, and then me and Montrezl Harrell is about to start up a little shoe business.
Oh, okay. Yep. Good shit, man. Yeah,
facts.
You got to get Montrez on here, man.
Yeah, I know. I just talked to him yesterday, matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, and we were supposed to start it up like a month and a half ago, but where high school ball was coming back, my time was coming into that, and he just got back from Australia because he was playing in the NBL league or something like over. So something happened and he came back home and I hit him up. I was like, I know you in the shoes. I was like, we got to do some business. But during the summer, Chucky, he put me in touch with Trez because he hit me up. He was like, Trez need 15 to 20 pair of these hyper dunks. So he gave
me. Wait, he's for like his team.
Yep. I guess he's going to get them, like, customized because he wanted all the same shoes, the same color. He wanted all white. So I was assuming he's going to get them customized. So I DM'd him, and then we just been locked in since then.
Oh, okay. Did you make it happen?
Nah, because I found, like, 12 of them, but he needed 20. And about that time, I found all of them. He already done shook to Australia. So. Yeah, I done been to the Big 3 games. Nasir Khor, he's like one of the biggest YouTube basketball players, so he's really big on like the one-on-one stuff on YouTube. So when Big 3 came to Cincinnati, him and Bino, they gave me tickets. And Bino, he was just on the Bucks team, but I don't know what happened. I think they might have released him, but yeah. And I go to Virginia Tech in January. I was supposed to go in last month to do like a pop-up shop for him to sell a bunch of Kobe's and stuff. So in January, I'm going to go out there.
Okay, you see you're going to have a pop-up shop out there?
Yep.
Oh, okay, that's amazing.
So now that's what I've been trying to focus my time to. And there's another dude that does it. I think he's from like Florida somewhere. But other than that, nobody does pop-up shops for shoes. It's clothes. Like I grew up with a dude fitted by CKG.
Uh-huh.
He does clothes. He's from Louisville.
Oh, okay.
He's done it. He's worked with like 6ix9ine and a whole bunch of rappers and big college teams.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You say his name is what?
Fitted by CKG.
Okay, I'm gonna check him out.
Yeah, his name's Boogie. I played AAU with him growing up, so that's how me and him know each other.
So what? Before we get out of here, do you got a message for like the youth, up and coming business person? For you. Run away.
Man, just chase your dreams for the youth. Like, no matter what's going on, I say just chase your dreams for real.
Chase your dreams, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Big and Lazy Pod. Big and Lazy. Big and Lazy Pod's the IG. We got a Patreon app.
Wanna set your socials before we get out of here?
No Limit Kicks _ and then TPAT5 on Instagram.
Yeah.
On Instagram. Another confirmed multi-
multimedia production from Firm. Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. It was something good to eat. It was something good to watch.